There are more banks than you think in New Zealand when you sit down to count them up. And one of them, not nearly as big as the Aussie banks, but right up there when it comes to lending to first home buyers, is BOMAD, the Bank of Mum and Dad. The Bank of Mum and Dad is receiving a lot of applications right now, and not just for home purchases. The banks of a similar size and status in many countries like ours socially, such as Australia, the UK and the US. And it's an increasingly important form of social insurance. There's new evidence in The Economist that when short of cash right now, many young people are turning to their parents for help. In Denmark, a big recent study, that includes younger people up to age 39. Joining us is Bruce Shepherd, a partner with tax specialists Gilligan Shepherd, formerly with the Financial Markets Authority as well, but best known as the spokesman for the body he founded 15 years or so ago, the Shareholders Association. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Are you worried about the demands being put right now on the Bank of Mum and Dad?
Demands or pressures?
Both, really.
I guess they're the same anyway. There is a generational divide, both culturally and economically, that has emerged, I think, in the last 30 years. Millennials have a particular set of aspirations around life. They're diverging quite rapidly, mostly because of technology, speed of change, etc., to the value sets and beliefs that their parents had. Many, for example, prefer entrepreneurship and business over owning homes. Some don't even aspire to own homes. But what is happening is the younger generation is eyeing the accumulated wealth of the baby boomer population, which isn't universally held, but there is a reasonable chunk of baby boomers that are wealthy, and attempting to access it for one scheme or another, whether it's a business or whether it is a house or an investment or something. There is increasing pressure on perceived to be wealthy parents by their children.
All right, so their aspirations differ to a certain extent. Actually, can I just diverge and ask you about house prices and the implications? Because they're surprisingly buoyant, and the real estate industry has arguments about why they'll stay that way. But the CEO of one of our big companies told me recently you'd be silly to buy a house now, and he's in touch with the banks, and they're already telling people to sell to beat the slump and starting to advise customers losing their jobs to downsize their homes as the mortgage holidays end. It seems to me that this is information worth thinking about, both for young people wanting to get into a house and also for the Bank of Mum and Dad.
Indeed it is. Every time a bubble bursts or a market changes direction, you have a period of uncertainty where you have a balance of noise saying buy and sell. Here are some fundamental factors, I guess. Our borders will remain shut. I cannot see us having even a trans-Tasman bubble for 12 to 18 months, let alone open free borders. Secondly, workplaces are changing. In our business, we have about half the team here at any point in time and the other half happily working remotely. The world's changing. Commercial property prices and leases and rentals are all going to adjust. Equally, income expectations are changing. One piece of anecdotal information from a senior banker which was lamenting the mortgage holiday said, we're monitoring the mortgage holiday closely. And you'd be surprised how many people have taken the mortgage holiday and racked it up on their credit cards. In short, no one appears to be taking the economic consequences of lockdown seriously, largely because we are living in this phony war, fake world of a sea of cash fueled by wage subsidies that is giving everyone the confidence that the world's still normal. It's not normal. Job losses will accelerate, insolvencies will increase, business restructurings will become commonplace. All of this hasn't happened yet to any significant degree, because the fairy dust of a tooth fairy economy, fueled by billions of dollars of cash creation by central government, is masking the reality of what's coming. I am saying to my young people, don't buy now, wait. The bottom of the market, it will be mid-next year, just wait.
Whether they wait or not, Bruce, 60 to 70% of first home buyers had parental help in New Zealand. That was a couple of years ago. And for those under 30, the proportion jumped to 80 to 90%. They were typically borrowing $90,000, according to a North and South survey in 2018. In a slump, that's money that could just vanish, yeah?
Let's talk about how parents do this, because it's multifaceted. Some parents just say, here's a check, go buy a house. That's easy. It's a gift. It doesn't count as debt. It counts as children's equity, and it makes the bank comfortable to lend. Others do it as a loan, banks uncomfortable, and often in the pre-COVID world, that was a barrier to them getting mortgage lending from banks because they added the parents' debt to the LVR. Post-COVID, banks are ignoring parental loans, so it makes it easier for parents to document what they do as a formal loan, and many are choosing to do that, mostly interest-free. Some are electing to do it by shared ownership, and the bank finances the children's proportion and the parents finance the equity proportion. That's a fairly becoming a more common way. It gives the parents better control over subsequent borrowing on the property if the children choose to use it as security. The insidious bit of this, however, is not all parents are as comfortably well off as they think they are. Sometimes parents mortgage their own homes to provide money to their children. But mum and dad actually have to look at each other and say, our children have now grown up, we've done our best, may or may not have been good enough. Our prime obligation is to look at each other and say, we owe a duty to ourselves now first. Many parents don't have that stop break. They get pressured. Holding assets in trust is a break. It's a break on that behaviour. Sure, the Trustee Act is changing and beneficiaries are entitled to know if they're beneficiaries and all of that. But having an outsider who can say no to children that are putting their parents at risk makes it a lot easier to ensure that only those that can afford to do so and that they do so with their eyes wide open to the risk they are putting themselves in the future.
Those pressures you describe will be in operation right now if the real estate market is still buoyant. And there are some horror stories. The New Zealand Listener ran a feature on this, you know, beloved children receiving gifts or loans, getting offside with the parents, perhaps because of the person they partner up with, disappearing to the Gold Coast, leaving their parents impecunious. Are you saying parents, though, are wiser to this now and banks are wiser in terms of stipulating safeguards?
No, they're not. The banks have taken the break off it by saying, if you choose to lend to your kids, you can, but of course the bank will still want a first and only registered mortgage. They're aware of a debt, but they don't want it on the title. The children own the property. The parents have an unsecured debt. Unsecured debt gift probably doesn't make much difference if the children go broke or run off with the money. The children remain free under that scenario to mortgage the property and spend up like billio using the rising house value for consumption, which has been a continuing problem in our society. What really troubles me, and, you know, I am a parent, but I also act for children and parents, is the expectation that children have that they can render their parents impecunious to further their own needs.
Well, we're selfish when we're young. That's part of it, isn't it?
Well, it is part of it. Until you actually have independence and freedom and you have found your own centre and self, of course you are going to be avaricious and you will do what it takes. It's human nature. Often parents will pretend that they have more than they have for the other human nature, which is pride.
Yeah.
Now, some parents take the view, my life is over, If I'm going to be broke in old age, it makes no difference to me. I would prefer my children to succeed, and I trust them to look after me when I'm old. That is a fatuous argument in a Western society.
Even if it turns out in the end to be a gift, because the parents want to be generous, you are presumably safeguarded by it being a loan or the equivalent of should relations turn nasty, yeah?
Yep. And what I generally recommend is I say lend to both of them, jointly and severally. So if it turns to custard, you can issue demand and pursue the spouse for the debt.
Thank you for the sage advice. I presume at the moment you're seeing signs of young people, or indeed older people at the moment, trying to get into the housing market because they perceive a buoyancy. Are you seeing that?
Older people are not doubling down on rental properties. They are probably domestic rental properties with the healthy homes legislation and tenant rights are probably one of the most thankless investments you could choose to make. I suspect the rental market will tighten over time. There is an absolute sea of bungalows, villas and 1950s houses that can never be made compliant with the upcoming healthy homes legislation. They have joinery that can never be made airtight, even if that were a wise thing to do. So you sit back and you say, what are you going to do with all that housing stock? Who's going to demolish them and build new houses, and who's going to want to take that risk? There's a whole bunch of dynamics around that. So when you take that into account, supply is probably going to compress, which would suggest that prices will go up over time. I just have concerns about the next 18 months to 2 years.
Good to talk with you, Bruce, and thanks for your thoughts on this.
Okay, no problem.
So they're Bruce Shepherd's views. I'm a millennial with a home loan, says Nick. The bank of mum and dad can offer far more reasonable interest rates than the other banks, and the profit stays in New Zealand. What's not to like? How old do you think millennials are? Asks a texter. Well, pushing 40, the older millennials, of course. Most of us are financially independent from our parents at this point and have families of our own. Sounds like you were talking about Generation Z. But also the lower end of the millennials, I suppose you could argue, and that Danish study was looking at people up to age 39, as we said.